Hello, everyone, and thank you so much for joining us on this episode of SeniorLivingGuide.com podcast. I am your host, Darlene Mahoney. If you enjoy our Senior Focus podcast, we can be downloaded and followed and shared most anywhere you enjoy your podcast, such as Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and so much more. SeniorLivingGuide.com provides their online users with a one-stop solution to help seniors and their caregivers find and connect with the best next step in senior living or home health, all in one easy-to-navigate website. It's super easy peasy. Please visit us online. And today, I would like to introduce our guests, Dr. Pam Trinetti and Janet Rooks. Dr. Trinetti is an osteopathic physician who specializes in geriatrics. Janet Rooks is a social worker and a dementia care specialist. They work together at the Parish Senior Consultation, where they focus on the care of patients with dementia. Dr. Trinetti is the Director of Aging Services at Parish, and Janet Rooks coordinates Parish Senior Solutions, which provides education, resources, and support for seniors and caregivers. And today we're going to talk about an interesting topic. Our topic of the day is sexuality and seniors. We're calling it Sex After 60 is Nifty. And from what I read, sex is good for you. It boosts your immune system, burns calories, lowers blood pressure, helps you relax, relieves pain, keeps your mind sharp, and it may even help you live longer. I like all these things. So, what's the deal?
Well, first of all, you've got something to look forward to when you turn 60.
Hopefully, we're not all waiting until we're 60.
No, not at all. But people are more open to talking about sexuality than they were when I was growing up. As far as older people, they were taught that it just didn't happen. Or you just don't talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
The babies just showed up. The stork brought them in, and it never was talked about.
Right, mm-hmm. Right.
The title is of our little talk today is actually a nod to Dr. Manny Fliegelman, who taught human sexuality in my medical school. It was our first semester, first year. And he had these movies that mm-hmm. were produced by a church in California. So it was obviously no church that you and I ever went to, Janet.
No.
And they were people having sex. There were paraplegics, quadriplegics, gay people, straight people, old people, young mm-hmm. people, all kinds of folks, because it was to break us down to make it comfortable for we young doctors to talk about all kinds of sexuality and to be accepted, accepting, open-minded.
Mm-hmm.
And we had, folks come as guest speakers. But most people are still kind of reticent when it comes to bringing up a sexual problem. Often mm-hmm. we have a whole talk about all kinds of things from hair to toenails, and then they're going out the door and going, oh, by the way, I'm having a problem with my sexuality, with mm-hmm. orgasm, with erections, and they leave it for the last little bit because they just can't bring it out at the beginning of the visit. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, if I bring it in the beginning, he'll think it or she'll think it's really important to me, and I really shouldn't be talking about this. So let's start with the basic. Miss Darlene, what's our major sex organ?
Well, I just recently found out it is the brain.
Absolutely.
Yes.
It is the brain. That's where, what do I like? What don't I like? What do I feel comfortable with? What turns me on? What doesn't mm-hmm. turn me on? It's all in our brains. Now, as we get older, one of the good things about our sexuality is you really have more of an intimacy with your partner. You know them. Mm-hmm. They know you. You don't have the distractions. Kids aren't going to barge in. You're not afraid of getting pregnant. But there's a few downsides to psychologically, huh,
yeah,
Janet?
The bad thing is, or the downside is, that, our brain sends us some mixed messages.
Yeah.
Maybe there's pent up resentment toward your spouse or your partner.
Mm-hmm.
You're just a little bit that you haven't dealt with.
Right.
Maybe you're thinking that, oh, God, this part, I thought it was over with. I didn't have mm-hmm. to deal with this anymore.
Right.
I'm 70, 80 years old, or however old you may, 60. I didn't want to deal with this anymore. I've had my kids. They're grown. I didn't want to deal with this anymore.
Right.
Or maybe there's changed roles in your relationship. You know, your spouse is retiring, and that you just don't want to be bothered. Or maybe your body image is changing, you know, and you're just not sexually attracted to that person anymore. Or you just don't feel sexy.
Right. Yeah. I think that those are very valid points.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the changes in the body, because that's, as you age, clearly that is one of the biggest factors.
Well, gravity kind of takes over some, you know, was less muscle mass than there used to be. Our physical strength that we used to have, our flexibility to do some of the sexual activity that we used to do.
I was going to say, what are you saying here? Yeah.
You know, not the aerobics, but some of that stuff. And it's not as comfortable as it used to be.
And just looking in the mirror, you know, we have a definition of what's pretty and what's sexy.
Right.
And yeah, gravity does take over.
Yeah, we got wrinkles and saggy things and cellulitis and all that. I'm not talking about any
cellulite.
The three. I'm not talking about the three of us. I'm talking about fictitious people out there.
And what? And you know? And then you've got the media and television and all these different magazines. If anybody even reads magazines anymore about what you're supposed to look like. And as you age, you only can control what you can control.
Well, let's face it, the models that we grew up looking at, they're now in their 60s. And they haven't changed a whole lot since they were when we were looking at them now. And they're talking about how beautiful they are and all this sort of thing. And they haven't had any cosmetic surgery.
Oh, of course they haven't.
I was going to say, I call bunk
and
on that.
This cream will work for that, and that cream will work for this, and oh, well, here I am. But, and call this number, and we'll take your credit card, and you'll be as flexible, and all that stuff will be gone.
You look like Christie Brinkley.
Absolutely. I didn't want to name names.
No.
but that she's the one I'm thinking about. You know, and there's illnesses like arthritis that creep in. Muscle cramps. You know, we don't have a muscle cramp in the middle of a sexual relationship.
Right.
Shortness of breath, you know, because of heart disease or lung disease. Acid reflux. And, you know, there's concerns about bladder or bowel control, gas.
Those things.
It's going to break up a good mood.
Exactly. Ladies never pass gas. Never.
Right.
No.
But, yeah, if you're not feeling sexy about yourself and you're oh, my goodness, am I going to wet myself? Or, oh, my goodness, my back hurts. And there's all kinds of factors that we have to
It's very hard when you're self-conscious to get excited about a sexual encounter, I would imagine.
Well, and I'm not going to just put it on us ladies. Let's put it on the guys, too.
Sure.
Because, you know, it's not just the ladies that experience this.
Yeah.
The guys are going to as well.
Yeah.
So we'll get to them a little bit later.
And one of the big offenders for diseases is diabetes. You know, this is part of why when we say you've got to get your diabetes under control, it's not just a sugar number. It's affecting your circulation and it's affecting your nervous system. So, how does someone get an erection? The penis fills with blood, and that's what makes the stiffness, the hardness. If you don't have good circulation because the diabetes has damaged it, you're going to have problems having an erection.
Yeah.
The nerve damage, loss of feeling in the genitals, impotence, erectile dysfunction is our newer word, and also with women, the sex just won't be as pleasurable because of the nerve damage. In women too, diabetes increases the risk of vaginal yeast infections, and then so you're drier, and then you're getting recurrent urinary tract infections, so maybe things will be more tender than they used to be.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I never imagined that diabetes was a leading cause of this at all. So it's something that's very it's enlightening for sure. Because in all honesty, I always thought the majority of, other than, you know, the how you felt about yourself and your personal issues and those types of things. I thought it was more hormone based, that, you know, you had a lot of hormonal changes. So what part of this is hormonal based as well?
It's all interconnecting.
Okay.
You know, because you can have the most beautiful person with great hormones, and if they look in the mirror and they don't like what they see, mm-hmm. Or they've had some bad sexual experiences and they're just not interested, you're going to have a problem. Remember, both sexes have both hormones.
Right.
So men just have a whole lot more testosterone, women have more estrogen. As these decrease, there's less desire. In fact, we've had... fellas who came to the office in their 50s and 60s with depression and fatigue, and it's low testosterone. So it's all interconnected. So we will draw testosterone levels on men. Less testosterone, more difficulty getting an erection, more problems keeping the erection. Erections are less hard, less big for women, less estrogen, less desire, more difficulty reaching orgasm, but also the physical changes.
Right.
The vagina is drier. Shorter, narrower, the walls are thinner, the muscles are weak. We talked about the weak musculature. So there can be some discomfort. So maybe you had a great sex life in your 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, and now you're like, oh, this doesn't even feel good.
Right.
It hurts. I don't like this.
Right, right. And so a lot of women, the hormone specifically for them starts probably in menopause.
Exactly.
Right. So it just... But by the time you're 60, 70, you've come all the way through menopause.
Right. And remember that, you know, human beings used to only live to 40s and 50s. So you were no longer fertile. Everything shut off. And then you passed away a few years later. Now, you know, we're living longer. So the old, okay, I'm done having babies, therefore I'm done having sex. That's 150 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah. So these are definitely some things to consider regarding, you know, trying to maneuver sex in your 60s. So I think we're going to go to a quick break, and then I think we're going to talk about some solutions on these changes. We are today for sure.
Parish Healthcare, we believe every life is poetry in motion, motivated by strength and determination. As your bone, muscle, and joint healthcare partners, we believe in blending the art of healing with the science of medicine to keep your body in motion. We believe in healing patients, healing families, and healing communities. For a free orthopedic health assessment, visit parishhealthcare.com/orthoaware. Parish Healthcare, where the art of healing comes to life.
Hey, Mom, how's retirement home search coming?
Oh, my gosh. I'm just so stressed out. I don't even know where to begin.
Well, why are you so stressed? What's the matter?
I don't know where to find anything. I just need everything in, like, one place and know what all the options are.
Does the idea of searching for senior housing seem overwhelming, and you just aren't sure where to even begin? SeniorLivingGuide.com has great news for you. We offer a one-stop solution to take the stress out of your senior housing search. At SeniorLivingGuide.com, both our statewide Florida edition book and website are created to make your senior housing search very easy for you to navigate. We provide details on communities, including retirement, assisted living, skilled nursing, memory care, and home health, allowing you to decide which best fits your needs and then connecting you directly with those communities. Visit us online at SeniorLivingGuide.com. And start your search today and start de-stressing.
At Parish Healthcare, we believe in our community. We believe in keeping our community safe. We believe in the art of healing. We believe in healing patients, healing families, healing communities. We believe in the best and brightest working together for the common good. At Parish Healthcare, our team focuses on you as an individual because every life is a work of art to us. Parish Healthcare, where the art of healing comes to life. Visit parishhealthcare.com/healthaware for a free health risk assessment.
Welcome back. So I really kind of want to touch on something that I was thinking during our break. I, you know, we want to talk about sex after 60.
And everyone should be totally comfortable with this conversation, talking to their spouse, you know, even having the conversation with their girlfriends. Mm-hmm. Men typically aren't super comfortable with that, but that's, you know, whatever their cup of tea is. But you should definitely be able to talk about it with your doctor. And through this podcast, I have like really kind of been skirting around the topic myself, mm-hmm. because I, to be honest with you, am a little uncomfortable with it as well. And during the break, I had said, you know, it reminded me of like the kindergarten cop, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger, where the little boy said, you know, boys have penises, girls have vaginas, and there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, it's mm-hmm. a physical thing. It's not even a sexual thing. Mm-hmm. So I think to be a little bit more comfortable moving forward with having a little more open conversation.
And I touched on medical school, and I was thinking about how I was getting married after medical school, graduated and everything. Mm-hmm. And my mom sat down with me a couple weeks before my wedding, and she's like, did they teach you about sex in medical school? I said, yeah. And she said, so we don't have to talk about it right now? I'm like, no, Mom, you're off the hook for this one.
We don't have to
talk about it.
Oh, my goodness. So let's kind of get back to the topic. So how do you deal with the changes in hormones? Because I know that is probably a big one. You know, it's probably for both, I'm sure, but for women, because it is such a drastic mm-hmm. change. What's the solution on that?
You just got to talk about it. Mm-hmm. You really do. You talk mm-hmm. about it to your doctor. You talk about it. You've got to, first of all, you got to acknowledge that it has happened, mm-hmm. you know, and we all reach a certain age, mm-hmm. you know, and everybody's different, you know, find out through your family tree about when your grandmother or your mother or whatever, but you need to talk to your doctor.
Went through menopause. So just to get prepared.
Yeah. So it can be a hereditary thing where you have similar patterns.
A trending.
A
trending. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But talk to your doctor. Be aware of your own body. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, talk to your doctor. Be open with them. Be able to share with them what you're going through. Mm-hmm. Because there's resources out there that can help you, mm-hmm. but you know, explain to the doctor about what you're going through, mm-hmm. and you know, and talk to your partner, mm-hmm. talk to your partner yeah. about what you're going through,
and you might have to talk to yourself.
Yeah,
you might have mm-hmm. to say, where is this coming from? Mm-hmm. What did my parents teach me? What am I relying on? I'm afraid what the kids will think if they know that their parents are having sex. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe what the nuns told you when you were growing up. Because I was taught sex, if it doesn't result in procreation, then it's a sin. So self-gratification is a sin. And I've had many older ladies who come in and say, I read those romantic novels, you know, the ones with the guy with the flowing hair and mm-hmm. the princess. And I kind of enjoy myself. Mm-hmm. Is that okay? Mm-hmm. It's like you're 70, you're 8, go right ahead. Mm-hmm. It's okay. It's like okay. I have to give permission
right.
to read a racy novel.
Oh, bless their hearts. Yeah. That makes complete sense. So is that something that they're talking about just in general, or is there other issues that they...
That's something you can work through yourself, but a lot of times people will talk about these things mm-hmm. to their doctors. Mm-hmm. If you want to talk, let it be the beginning of a visit and mm-hmm. say, "Doctor, I am here today because I am having vaginal dryness, mm-hmm. because sex is uncomfortable, because mm-hmm. I want to have an active sex life with my husband for as long as we possibly can, mm-hmm. and I'm having urinary problems mm-hmm. and I'm having arthritis problems." Mm-hmm. You know, or the big thing is I'm worried that some of my medications are interfering
sure.
with my sexuality.
I mean, at the end of the day, this is it's a medical issue. If you're not able to enjoy it and be comfortable with it, and you should be able to talk to your doctor very comfortably with mm-hmm. you know,
Yeah, because maybe we will change your medications.
Yeah.
The cholesterol medications, a lot of the high blood pressure medications.
And a lot of the antidepressants as well. You know, we address depression at every visit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's become something that is in the more forefront as far as with medical care of are you experiencing any depression?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the antidepressants do cause it affects problems. The sex drive.
They blunt
the
orgasmic effect.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. I have actually heard of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean you don't take them. It just means that it can be addressed.
Yeah, or you change, you know, the dose or the timing or to a different type.
Because
you have to treat the depression, too, because that's an issue. And then our favorite
alcohol. You know, it takes away your inhibitions, but it also affects the ability to reach orgasm, and it affects your ability to function. The men to have an erection with their penis.
Yes, there you go.
And that's at any age.
You're just like Shakespeare. Shakespeare, Macbeth, Act 2, Scene 3. Mm-hmm. Alcohol provokes the desire, but takes away the performance. Exactly what you just said.
Exactly.
Oh, that's great.
Especially for men.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. So are there any other medications that can interfere with sex that are prominent, like antidepressants? Are there any others?
The antidepressant, some high blood pressure, cholesterol medicines. Again, when you get a new prescription, read through that package insert.
Mm-hmm.
It might be in there. Mm-hmm. And it's not a guarantee that it will affect, but it might.
Mm-hmm.
So, and, you know, maybe even something that's making you a little drowsy is just kind of decreasing your interest.
Yeah, because the doctors know the side effects of all the medications. But read all of your the inserts on all your medications, because you never know. And it may be that the medication can be changed.
Mm-hmm.
I remember years ago, starting out as a social worker 100 years ago, that there was one of my former patients that I had called me. And I mean, I was green. I was a new social worker.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd moved on, and this was an issue.
Mm-hmm.
I was so embarrassed.
Yeah.
I mean, I was so embarrassed when he called.
Yeah.
But I had gotten, I talked to the doctor, and the medication was changed.
Yeah.
He was happy.
Yeah.
He was happy. And so it does make a difference. It can make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And but it was something that I had to learn as a new social worker to get out of my, what I felt like was my comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
And it was my first experience of talking to somebody that could have been my grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
And because he didn't have a problem with it, I had to not have a problem.
He looked at you as a medical professional.
I was a medical professional.
Yeah.
I was not, you know, and I helped him by going to the right person.
Yeah.
And I felt really good about the fact that I was able to reach out to the doctor.
Right.
So, yeah, reach out to your doctor about those things.
Right. So are there alternatives for these types of medical conditions that are attributing factors?
Yeah, if it's arthritis, you know, take a couple of Tylenol, some Advil before you engage in sexual activity, or, you know, a new pillow. Mm-hmm. Or, and you may need a new mattress to take away the pain or discomfort, or a new position. You know, there's a lot of different positions when you're having sex.
Right. Mm-hmm. So if you have arthritis and this is an issue with having sex because of the pain,
exactly,
of that type of thing. Mm-hmm. So these are just some good tips. So really being proactive, which sometimes take a little of the romantic out of the very beginning, but just being it's going to make for overall more enjoyable experience.
Right. And
or it makes it more romantic.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
yeah, you know.
You add a candle.
Yeah.
Just don't forget to blow it out.
That's right. But, you know, like acid, maybe you need to change the timing. You have acid reflux.
Mm-hmm.
So after dinner, if you decide, well, we've always had sex in the evening, but now the acid reflux flares up and it's really uncomfortable. So you can change it to the morning.
Mm-hmm.
You can change it to the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as real medical treatment, of course, we talked about the loss of testosterone and the replacement.
Mm-hmm.
We all are aware of the erectile dysfunction drugs that are out there. How do they work? Again, their job is to dilate the blood vessels to ensure an erection or to assist with. So, you know, maybe your erection problem is because of diabetes, because of circulatory problems. These medications help that. Sometimes you need pumps. There's implants that you can have. I always recommend talking to your urologist, mm-hmm. and they can figure out what's going to be the best treatment for you. And similar to women, I can talk, but I rely on our gynecologists mm-hmm. to say, yes, this person needs a pessary, or they need an estrogen pill, or an estrogen cream, or an estrogen testosterone mm-hmm. compounded cream, because the testosterone increases the desire. The estrogen can keep the tissue physically mm-hmm. healthier.
Okay, so there's some really good treatments out there and solutions mm-hmm. That it's not something you go pick up, you know, at your local GNC. A doctor can really give you some solid yeah. help. Mm-hmm. So you typically recommend for a male to seek a urologist mm-hmm. and a gynecologist for a female.
Right. Yeah, okay. we'll open the door and then guide them to the right person. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. of course, there's lots of things over the counter. There's all the lubricants. Mm-hmm. There's, you know, UberLube, Astroglide, if I recall my history, actually was developed at NASA. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't just Tang.
What is this now?
Astroglide. It's a lubricant. Apparently, they used it on the shuttle. Maybe somebody took it home. I don't know.
Holy cow.
But
the shuttle.
The things
I'm having visuals here. Yes. Okay. That is definitely interesting. Noted. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And there, of course, there's many, many, many KY and other brand names. Mm-hmm. You know, people find out what they like, what suits them, and you know, that's an option.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so definitely maybe try those out as well, or maybe combine them after you've talked with your doctor about mm-hmm. what's going to best suit you. This is an interesting question. So as people age, you've seen on the movies and on mm-hmm. TV shows where he dropped dead while we were having sex. Mm-hmm. Is that realistic?
If you notice on all of those, it's always there at a house of ill repute.
A seedy hotel.
Yes, or a nice hotel up mm-hmm. in the penthouse suite. Really, 1% about of all heart attacks occur during sex. 0.6% to 1.7%. In those studies, though, mm-hmm. between 82 to 93% of the people were men. Mm-hmm. 75% of them, it was extramarital activity with a younger partner, an unfamiliar setting, excessive food, excessive alcohol.
That sounds like the movie scene.
It absolutely does. So now, but people are saying, well, hey, I have heart disease. I had open heart surgery. I have a mm-hmm. stent. Can I have sex? And if so, when can I have sex? Mm-hmm. American Heart Association has, as part of their website, educational material. Mm-hmm. The kind of rule of thumb was, if you can go up two flights of stairs without getting short of breath, you're probably safe to have sex.
Okay.
As far as after a stent or after open heart surgery, you talk to your doctor, but it could be 2 weeks. It could be 2 months, depending mm-hmm. on how you're healing, how you're responding.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. That's so interesting. So what about sexuality in patients with dementia?
Ooh.
That's got to be a very difficult topic to...
And, you know, and this can be a problem for a number of reasons. You know, patients with dementia may be disinhibited mm-hmm. And to the point that they're embarrassed. And they're also unnerving. Mm-hmm. You know, they have personality changes that mask... them to be unattractive. Mm-hmm. They may forget that they've had sex and want it again several times a day. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I've actually heard this. Mm-hmm. Caregivers have said, you know,
I'm exhausted.
He won't leave me alone. Mm-hmm. I'm having to go in there and, you know, he can't get an erection mm-hmm. and I'm worn out.
Wow.
He
mm-hmm.
just wants to play. Yeah. You know, he yeah. just wants to play and I'm tired.
Right.
Can you mm-hmm. give him something? Can mm-hmm. you talk to the doctor to give him something so he'll leave me alone?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And other people are saying, oh, my gosh, you know, I have to feed him. I have to dress him. They're yelling at me in public. They're misbehaving. They're saying mean things to me. And then
mm-hmm. and then
I'm supposed to find him sexually attractive.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So really, really tough on a lot of people.
Exactly.
Sure.
And then there's the question of whether someone can consent to sex. Mm-hmm. consent to have a relationship, you know, not a relationship, but mm-hmm. to have sex with they have moderate to severe disease. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's a real big problem in long-term care facilities or assisted living, because with the dementia, they can't consent to treatment.
Right.
Someone else has had them do that. And the residents may be having sex.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, you've got one caregiver or one family member that doesn't have a problem with it because it just mm-hmm. is. And then the other family member is saying, absolutely not. You mm-hmm. separate them. You just get them out of there. Put
right.
them in another room, you know, mm-hmm. and really indignant about the whole situation. Mm-hmm. So it becomes a very big issue.
Mm.
So mm-hmm. can they consent to, or is it just they're mm-hmm. back to the gentleman that can't get an erection?
Mm-hmm.
But so it can be a big problem.
Yeah. Now, there are medications for sexually inappropriate behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Usually we get psychiatry involved, but there's steps that you can take. And again, it might be a whole group discussion between the family, the administration,
mm-hmm.
You know, the nurse's aides who are there, and they're the ones opening the door and looking in the room and going, oh my goodness,
yeah,
should this be happening or shouldn't it be happening?
Yeah, and are they just laying there with the clothes on?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know,
mm-hmm.
is there really anything going on, or mm-hmm. are they in there with the clothes off and trying to do something,
mm-hmm.
you know? So it's one of those things to where sometimes you just need to find out exactly what's going on. And I'm not promoting people with dementia having relationships, having sex, or attempting mm-hmm. to have sex, but it's back to that communication.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It happens. We have to talk about
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Back
so
to that.
That
exactly.
sounds like it's an individual case-by-case mm-hmm. yeah. situation.
And that goes back to the facility having to take the responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And it may be that they're separated on different wings, different mm-hmm. units. And if it's in memory care, into a different memory care
yeah.
unit.
Yeah. Wow. Those are like some big, big questions there
mm-hmm.
that, you know, not everybody really thinks about until you kind of dig a little bit deeper.
And I didn't do it. You know, you hear that. No.
Yeah. That's right. We forgot.
I didn't do that. No.
Yeah.
But where's my girlfriend?
Yeah.
Because they may think they're their wife. They may think that's
exactly.
their husband.
Yes.
And they see nothing wrong with it. So.
Because I've totally walked into memory care facilities I want to say just units or whatever, but this one woman had always thought I was her daughter.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Every time I would go in there, and I do not know this woman, but she always, I don't know if I resembled her daughter mm-hmm. or what, but every time I would go in there, she would just latch, and she'd want to go get her nails done. It was heartbreaking,
mm-hmm.
but every time that I would go in there, she seemed to know me and want to like leave, do something, and she was very like a very well put together, buttoned up lady, so you could tell that was her personality
mm-hmm,
and role
mm-hmm.
in her life before dementia, I should say. So is there a role for sex therapy? Is that something that is helpful?
Absolutely. Yes, sex therapists can give you permission to try new things, like different positions mm-hmm. and different types of sex at different times of the day.
Mm-hmm.
You
can mix it up a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
There's nothing wrong with mixing up a little bit.
You know, using mm-hmm. adult toys, reading racy novels,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. you know, direct stimulation,
mm-hmm.
Hands, use your hands, mouth,
mm-hmm.
Feet, just different things.
Ears, elbows.
Yeah.
But whatever you want.
Yeah.
Again, it's about sometimes the sex therapist is just giving permission to say, you
right.
know what, it's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you want to do this, if you need to do this
right. mm-hmm.
to maintain the sexual relationship.
Yeah.
Sometimes ladies will say, I've always wanted to see one of those adult movies. Okay, you know, try it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Try it. Go ahead.
Yeah.
It's like, I think I want to try asparagus. Okay, mm-hmm. try it. You might like it. You might not.
You're
Who
an
knows?
Adult. Yes.
You're an adult. Yes.
Yeah, no, I think that it's great. I think that having a sex therapist to kind of walk people through things that maybe, you know, they've been doing the same thing for so many years the same way and have kind of lost that flair or that same stimulation to see things or do things differently to kind of reengage the romance
mm-hmm.
in their sexual life, I think is a really good idea, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking about long-term couples,
hence what I just mentioned, you know, kind of reengaging yourself sexually with your partner with new things. What about new relationships?
Well, you know, talk about it. There's you know, sometimes it's a mixed match. You may have one of the partners that is, you know, very prim and proper, and they get matched up with someone that is a little bit more risque,
a little bow chicka wow wow.
You know, and they have met a blind date or on some of these matching sites.
There are a lot of over 60 websites for dating.
Yes, they are. And, you know, and they have no idea what they've gotten. You know, they don't know anything about each other.
Right.
And here they are, and they're in a relationship, and it's like, oh, my goodness, you know.
Yeah.
Because you can present yourself in any way.
Sure.
And, you know, and sometimes this previous marriage, they never had sex with the light on. And then all of a sudden, they've got flashing lights going on. You know, they never took a shower together, and all of a sudden, oh, come on, let's go, let's try this. We're out in a hotel, and let's give it a whirl. And so it's like, oh, my goodness, what have I gotten myself into?
And I can only imagine it's going to be strange for someone who maybe lost their spouse who had only had sexual relationships with that one spouse.
Yes.
So they've only had one partner their whole life. Which is, in all honesty, it's very unusual in this day and age, per se, for younger generations. But like my parents' generation, it wasn't as much.
With the lights out.
With the lights out.
Just to have kids.
Just to have kids.
Or children, I should say.
Yes. Oh, my goodness.
So, now we're talking about the new relationships, you know, get to know that person, build things up. I'm always concerned about some of the websites because, yes, you can present yourself as anything. So do your homework. When you are in a new relationship, you might be thinking, okay, I can have sex scot-free now because I won't get pregnant.
Right.
You can still get sexually transmitted diseases. Let's list them, shall we?
Oh, yeah.
AIDS, hepatitis B, gonorrhea, chlamydia, syphilis, genital warts, herpes, trichomonas, which is a protozoa, and crabs.
Right.
So you have to take precautions against getting a sexually transmitted disease.
Yeah. Right. So, you know, we recommend that they wear a condom and use some lubricant. You know, dryness increases your risk for sores or cuts. And it increases your risk for sexually transmitted diseases.
And they make condoms that are very, very thin and you can't even tell. So, I mean, they've come a long way, I believe, since the beginning of time on those.
But again, you have to tell your partner, you know what? I'm afraid of an STD. We have to use condoms and I want you to get checked and I'll get checked and get our blood work and our exams and
there you go.
Be safe.
Be responsible.
So
you are never too old for safe sex, in a nutshell. So sex doesn't really have to end. It often slows down or changes as we age because of physical problems or even things that, you know, are in your head. So do our guests have any other thoughts?
Well, you know, talk about it and to be open to trying some new things. You know, it's like trying a new dessert or some foreign foods. You know, you might like it, you may not, but you don't know until you do get a give it a try. It's okay.
It can be nifty.
Yes. Yep. And you know, if you have questions, you ask your doctor and get the help so you can enjoy your sex life.
Absolutely. Right. Be careful though.
Yeah, you have one life to live, right?
Very
might
good.
Might as well enjoy it.
All
right. Thank you, ladies. This was a great episode. I really enjoyed it.